First Chronicles chapter number 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag. I think it's very important that we acknowledge who they came to. They did not come to a city. Can I get an amen? They did not come to a country. They did not come to a nation, if you please. They did not come to an idea. They came to a man. His name was David. And at a time when others did not see him the way he should have been seen, can I get an amen? They saw him for who he was. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag. May I say to you, and I do not mean this disrespectful, I have not came to a county. I have not came to a nation. I have not came to a denomination. I came one day to a man. I got saved. Please don't misunderstand me. I didn't come to a plan of salvation. I came to the person of salvation. I am not involved in a movement. I'm involved with a relationship with a man. I'm not involved in something that is political. I'm involved in something that's very personal. Y'all didn't say amen enough. It's going to be a long night. Let me share you how it works. If I make a point that's true from the Bible, you say amen, and I get to move on. Amen? Amen. We look in here. While he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Now, isn't that interesting? The man that they came to needed help in a war that was raging. Isn't that interesting? The war existed and the war was going on. There's almost kind of like an implication. They could have avoided the war, but because of their contact with him, they found themselves engaged in a war that was raging. Y'all with me? When I came to Jesus Christ, may I say this to you, I didn't know how much the devil hated me until I got saved. Somebody told me when I was little, the devil hates you, he doesn't love you, and Jesus loves you and wants to save you. They told me that from the time I was young, but I didn't realize, Brother Ray, just how much the devil hated me until I got saved. Until I came to the man Jesus Christ, and I found myself then engaged in a war that had been going on. I felt the war when it was over my soul, but thank God Jesus won, amen. But I didn't realize all that was going on. I didn't understand the spiritual warfare and the spiritual battle that had been going on that my king had been involved in until I came to him. Y'all with me? Among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Now for sake of time, I want us to jump over to verse number 30. And it says, and of the children of Ephraim, 20,000 and 800 mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. And of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name to come and make David king. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. I want us to look here at verse number 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I ask in the precious name of Jesus for liberty, God, that you would come in and you would take over. Everybody here tonight, Lord, I would say most everyone here is either coming out of a problem, in a problem, or headed to a problem. And Lord, we need you. As we've already heard one dear old saint pray, Father, we need revival. We have assembled here tonight for that specific purpose, for you to revive us. I know I need it. And dear God, I believe this church probably needs it because every church I know needs it. And so I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, will you anoint me afresh and anew? Will you make me the preacher that you want me to be? Help me, God, to say everything that you won't say it, and help me to say nothing that should not be said. In Jesus' name, please control my actions. Control me. And God, if you want me to jump, I'll jump. If you want me to stand still, I'll stand still. But have your way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And please be seated. When we look here in this passage of Scripture, I found something very interesting, and it was in verse number 32 that the children of Issachar. Now, please acknowledge something with me. In this passage of Scripture, there are lists of men that are mentioned. There are several lists of men that are mentioned, several from this place and from that place, with this thing said about them and that thing said about them. But for some reason, right here, in the close to the middle, if you please, in verse number 32, it says, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times." The Lord paused and said something different about this group of men from the other group of men. He acknowledges they are all mighty men of valor. They are all strong men. They are all warriors, if you please. But this group, and if you'll notice, it was one of the smaller groups, if you understand that, said that they had understanding of the times. Folks, I'm about to cross the great divide. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? In a few days, I'm going to be 40 years old. The great divide. I can see it on the horizon. I'm about to cross over. I've been hanging on to 30 as long as I can, and I got to let it go. And so I'm about to cross. But you know what? In my lifetime, Brother Ray, we have had several men. And I would say, yes, men of valor. I would say men of intelligence. I would say even somewhat men of integrity, judging by the world's standards. I have seen on several occasions, and so have you, men, and it happens every 4 years in this nation, someone will stand up and say, "I understand." Uh-huh. "And you need to elect me." Can somebody say amen? "I understand what's going on," and they go on to say, "and I know what to do." Now please, I'm not being disrespectful to anybody. I don't want us to have a big debate over Republicans, Democrats, Independents. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the reality that we know what it's like to have someone tell us they understand and they know what to do, and they lie. They lie. See, it's one thing to think, it's one thing to think you understand, and it's another thing to understand. Yeah, it's one thing to think you know what to do, and it's another thing to know what to do. Yes. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. And the Bible says that these men had, if God said they had understanding, then they had understanding. Amen. The Bible says that they had understanding of the times. What times? The times in which they lived, in the times in the history of their nation, and in the times according to what was going to be the will of God. They understood the times. Amen. Now let's think about this, and if God keeps me going the way that I think He's going to keep us going, I promise you I'm not going to preach all of this tonight. This is about a three-nighter right here, okay? But I do want us to cover a little bit of it tonight, okay? Will you help me? Thank you. When we look at it, we see the word times had understanding of the times. I know that many of you all have studied the Bible a lot more than I have, and I am not going to reveal to you anything new. But I have a tendency to look up words, and the reason I look up words is because I have to look up words. Amen. And so when I looked up this word times, I was curious to what it was meaning. And when I looked at the times, and I looked at it, I said, well, that didn't hit me like I thought it would hit me, because it has a very simple meaning. It means this. It means like in the heat of the day. It means like the day. And I'm like, what? the day. And then the Holy Ghost said, aren't you getting it, dummy? Here's what it means. Here's what it means. It's talking about something that has a beginning just like a day and something that has an ending just like a day. Are you with me? They had an understanding of the times. We are looking at the Bible here and gathering information and realizing that we are dealing with some men who understood they were involved in something that had a beginning and was also going to have an ending. Amen. See, I personally believe this. I could be wrong, but this is what I personally believe. I don't know you guys, but I do know Greater Heights Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. And you want to know what our problem is? We don't understand the times. Can somebody say amen right there? Now, you all may have perfect understanding. I don't know. If you do have perfect understanding, I wish you would write letters to the people of Cumming, Georgia, because the people of Cumming, Georgia do not understand the times. Because here's what they're doing right now. They're flipping out. So what do you mean flipping out? Well, some of them had a lot of money invested in stuff, and I'm not proud about this at all. They did. They lost it all. I've got folks in my church, Brother Ray, you probably do too, that in one day lost $250,000. I've never seen $250,000. But you know what will happen? If you don't understand the times, that'll make you flip out. We got people in our church, God bless them, they are losing their jobs. They're going through difficult times. If there's one thing they understand it's difficult times, but they are in great distress because they don't have complete understanding of the time. See, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are involved in something that has a beginning and most definitely has an ending. When we look in the Word of God, there are those scholars that are much more intelligent than me that have deduced that there are dispensations in the Bible, that God legitimately deals with men in different ways at different times. I have no argument against that. When I look at this, when I look at how it goes, I had one of those Bible teachers in Bible college. He taught it like this. He said a dispensation is an island of time in the sea of time. Now, it doesn't mean that God changed. It doesn't mean that it's not. Hey, let me say this. Through every dispensation, it's always been, I said it, you believe it. It's always been based on what God said and faith. In every dispensation. That's the consistency of an unchanging God. But when you look at man, the human race, do you realize we haven't always existed? See, sometimes we think that we've always been here and it's always been us. Friend, there was a there before we were there.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah, amen. See, God is the one who has always existed. Be careful that you don't become so much like God in your thinking that you think it's always been about man. May I say this to you in love? We are a part of God's creation. When he flung the stars, Brother Ray, he did not ask for the advice of a man. There wasn't even a man there.
Amen.
Y'all are looking at me squinting your eyes like, well, that's heresy. No, it's not heresy. God's always been. And I don't know what all else he's created. I only know a speck of what we have been allowed to discover. We are discovering what God has created all the time. Amen. But so we are legitimately creatures of his creation. We, let's get this clear tonight so we can move on. We are not gods.
Amen.
Amen. So when I investigate the human race and I look at the human race and I compare the human race to the Word of God, I have to agree with those who discovered this truth that God seems to operate with men in dispensations. When I look at this, I see that there was a time when man was created. And he was created in a time of innocence. Can I get an amen? He did not even have the knowledge of good and evil. He was completely innocent. He was innocent in his thinking. He was innocent in his behavior. If he was offending God, he didn't know. Amen. Can I get an amen? Yeah. It had a beginning. When did it begin? When God went, and he became a living soul. It began when he put him to sleep again, took a rib and made a woman. And then when the woman came, it's all over. No, I'm joking. Then. But during this time of innocence, ladies and gentlemen, we have to acknowledge it had a beginning. And it had an ending. What was its ending? Its ending was when Eve was deceived and Adam made a choice and they ate of the tree of what? Of knowledge of good and evil. So the dispensation of innocence was over. And then they came in contact with the law. What? Yes, they had broken God's one commandment. And they had to deal with what happens when you break God's law and you know that you did it. Can somebody say amen right now? Amen. See, there's a difference in not knowing that you did and knowing that you did. And so they broke God's law, and what happened? Now they found themselves in another dispensation. And it was a dispensation of death. It was a dispensation of the law. And what had to happen? For them to be restored into good fellowship with God, what had to happen? God had to come down to them. They could not go to where, wow, that's preaching right there. They could not go to where he was. He came to them. Now, involved in this dispensation of the law, the dispensation of the law affects people kind of, we're all guilty of this. When we find ourselves in guilt, we try to cover it up. And they were in the process of trying to cover up their guilt. With every fig leaf that was sowed, they were trying to cover the guilt that they now possessed. Amen. God comes down to them, and what does he do? We know what he does. He takes a ram, he takes a lamb, and he sheds the blood of that lamb and provides for them a covering. Why? So that they would no longer be naked. Oh, hallelujah. Ain't that good? They would no longer see each other naked. God would no longer have to look upon their guilt and their shame and their nakedness. They were now covered by that ram who died and shed his blood for them. And so you know what they experienced? They experienced grace. They experienced grace. We see this, I think you agree with me, but Jesus gave this to me, so let me say, we see this even in the human experience today. When a child is born into this world, the child was not and then is. Comes into the world. God gives that child life. That child comes into this world what? Naked and innocent. Can I get an amen right there? That child does not know that they have displeased the Father. They don't know they've done wrong. They run around naked. If you'll let them run around naked, amen. They will run around and do all kinds of things and do things that they ought not do. That's why the average child's first word is no. Come on now. Not always, but on the average. The first word they learned, even though they may not repeat it, they know what no means. So until they learn what no means, they don't know. But when they know what no means, and they go ahead and do it, what happens? They come under the law. The chastisement for their guilt follows that reality, doesn't it? But then here's what they will learn. If you will watch a child, here's what a child will learn. A child will learn something. It will learn right from wrong and know when it's doing wrong. Are you still with me? And then will learn this incredible truth that if I do wrong, if I'll go and admit that I did wrong and ask for forgiveness, I may forego the chastening. You know what they're learning? Grace. So what's going on here, preacher? Here's what you and I need to understand about the times. Can anybody here take a stab in the dark and tell us what time, what dispensation, what age are we living in? Grace. It is known as two things, the times, ladies and gentlemen, the times in which you live is grace, and also known as the church age. But let's understand something. God is consistent. Can I get an amen about that? God never changes. Can I get an amen right there? God is going to operate the way He has always operated, and He's given us, listen very carefully, He has given us enough evidence to believe He's going to continue to be God.
Amen.
Amen. We are living, and we need to understand the times in which we live, because this is important. Here's one thing that's important about it. It had a beginning. When did it begin? It began when, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The truth of the matter is this. The world's sins had not yet been taken away. Right? You know, y'all read the Bible, y'all go to Sunday school, right? They had just been covered, but not taken away. They were covered, still operating in this dispensation of the law. Their guilt was covered, just like Adam and Eve's guilt was covered, so that they could commune with God and commune with their fellow man. But John says something incredible, amazing. It had never been said before. It had never been comprehended before. They had been daily going to where they were supposed to go and yearly going to where they're supposed to go. Then all of a sudden, this crazy Baptist preacher eating bugs and licking honey out in the middle of the wilderness doing baptize. What's he baptizing for? What's he talking about calling us vipers? What's he talking about? What's going on? And then in the middle of all that Baptist, John the Baptist preaching, he stands up one day and says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away. What? Taketh away. He's not going to cut. Oh, you ought to get excited about that, dear friend. You ought to get excited about that. My sins are not covered. They are taken away. It's pointed to us in the prophets that there would come a time when I would remember them no more. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross from Abraham to Jesus, all the sins that had just been covered were taken away. Ladies and gentlemen, all the sins of the past, all the sins of the present, all the sins that would be sinned in the future were taken away when Jesus Christ shed His blood that day.
Amen.
That is the dispensation beginning of the one that you and I live in. We live in a dispensation of the ultimate act of grace. Do you realize that Jesus Christ died during this dispensation to kick it off? 3 days later, after he'd been dealing with the death. Brother Ray, I have been living in a time when hell, the devil, have been defeated ever since I've been living. You ain't never thought about that, had you? From the time the devil was already beaten, sin had already been paid for, hell had already been taken. Ever since I was born in 1969, December the 5th, I was born in a time when sin had already been paid for. The devil had already been defeated. Hell had already been conquered. Jesus has had the keys of death, hell, and the grave ever since I have been alive.
Amen.
Maybe that'll hit you about 3 o'clock in the morning. You'll fall out of bed and have a glory spell. We need to understand the times in which we live. Well, I know what time we're living in. I know what my 401k says. That's not the time. We're not living in the times of the 401k. You and I are living in the times where we, as individuals, have total access to the throne of God every day, every moment of every week, of every day of our lives. You know what I wish? I just wished I'd have known it when I was 2. I didn't learn it until I was 20. I got in on the times in which we're living. No, please. I got to move on. But here's something we need to acknowledge about God. The times in which we live have had a beginning. They will also have an ending. And if they're going to have an ending, they've got to have a middle. Boy, that's smart, isn't it? You can tell I graduated high school, can't you? If it's got a beginning and if it's got an ending, some had to happen in the middle. Can I get an amen? Well, in the middle of it, the Bible says that there is a group of people that are being drawn by the Holy Ghost to whom a king who will be given and have understanding of the time. Preacher, why don't you jump on the bandwagon with the Bush crowd? I ain't going to jump on the bandwagon with the Bush crowd. He is not to whom I've gathered. Well, why don't you jump on the Obama crowd? I ain't going to jump on the Obama train. I ain't going to do it. Why? Because it's I didn't gather to him. So you got to understand something. This thing that I'm involved in had a beginning. It began at Calvary. It was taken care of there. It's going to end, and I'm going to get to that before the week's up. But right now, I'm in the middle. Why want you to know something tonight? I'm slap dab in the middle of something. It's the grace of God. You need to understand something tonight. The grace of God has not left you. The grace of God will not fail you. The same God that got you in is the same God that'll get you out. I want you to understand something tonight. We are not involved in the judgment of God, maybe as a nation, but not as His bride. We are not. We have not been left for condemnation. We have been saved from wrath through Him. Hallelujah. So the devil would have you to think, Brother Ray, it ain't going to get any better. But ladies and gentlemen, it's been good ever since Jesus ushered in the times in which we live. It's got a beginning. It's got an ending. It's got a middle. I want you to understand something. What's happening? Let's get back up here. Y'all still with me? Somebody tell me the time. Somebody tell me the time, please. 15 after 8. Can we go to 8:30 and everybody still be happy? All right. I want you to look at what's going on here in this passage of Scripture. You want to know what's going on here? The wrong king is out, and the right king's coming in. Are you listening? You know what? We're moaning and groaning. You want to know why we're moaning and groaning? Because the real king got knocked off our throne, and money took his place. Oh, that's ugly. Am I being ugly? I don't mean to be ugly. That's what's going on in America right now. But you want to know what bugs me and it legitimately breaks my heart? It's going on in the church I pastor. It's going on in other Baptist churches across the nation. People who ought to have understanding can't even grab a hold of the concept that the old king's about to get kicked out and the new king's coming in. Amen. Amen. There was a time period when David had to hide away from what? The wrong king. But he was still the king. Yeah. Amen. Can somebody say amen? There was a time period when King David was, some would say, off the scene. But he was still the king. God said, anoint him as king. He was God's chosen Amen. He was the one that God had ordained that was going to rule, that was going to reign, and there would be no ending of his rule and no ending of his reign. And ladies and gentlemen, what we need to comprehend tonight, you say it's bad and it seems like Jesus ain't around. Oh no, that would happen in this dispensation. But I want you to know, he's still the king because God says the king. You say, but he ain't moving like he used to. He's hid away somewhere. They still the king and he's still coming. Amen. The times in which we live. Understanding the times. See, here's one thing I know about independent, fundamental, disgruntled Baptists. This is what I know about us. If we don't get a warm fuzzy every now and then, come on now. Come on now. I came to help, believe it or not. If we don't get a warm fuzzy every now and then, he's not still on the throne. There's too much that's wrong. Come on now, gang. Y'all get in here with me. Y'all better start amening me or I'll repeat it all over again. Yeah, and here's what I've learned about the Baptists that I hang around with. Usually the fuzzies got to deal with some material possession being added to their life because of a prayer request they made. Usually, not always, the fuzzy comes because they prayed for $100 and got $125. Oh, yeah. It usually comes because they prayed for a new job and got it. God's good, isn't he? God's good. But where's he at when we lose our job? He's still good, preacher. He's still good. And I hear you, brother, and you're right. But where, how is it, Brother Ray? See, Brother Ray, I've been through some of the toughest 6 years of my life. And I've got to be perfectly honest with you. When I've got down on my knees, I haven't always heard him.
That's right.
What are you going to do then? What are you going to do when he don't talk to you? I love you, but some of you just haven't been saved long enough. Some of you haven't been through maybe what I've been through. I didn't say that he wasn't listening. I just was saying as far as my estimation, he wasn't listening. What do you do, Brother Ray, when your wife comes to you and says, honey, God, don't listen to me anymore? What y'all do? It must be better over here in North Carolina because this is what I go through in Georgia. I need to move to North Carolina. I was driving so fast, Brother Ray. I was driving so fast, I was thinking, surely, choom, I done shot through South Carolina. I jumped South Carolina. Thought I landed in North Carolina. Well, hallelujah, South Carolina. I need to move to South Carolina then. Y'all seem to take that a little bit harsh, kind of like when I was in Virginia and somebody said I was from West Virginia. I didn't like that. Everybody knows people from Virginia are better than people from West Virginia. Everybody knows that. My wife's from West Virginia, and I remind her of that all the time. Every time she leaves the refrigerator door open or something, I say, ask because you're from West Virginia. I give her a hard time. But that's the kind of stuff that I go through in Georgia. Is he no longer king? Is he no longer who he said that he was? No, he's still the king. Sometimes, brother, can I be totally honest? Sometimes I think, Brother Ray, the Lord don't do what he used to do. He decided he ain't going to do it no more. That thought's crossed my mind. The devil comes. Because, Brother Ray, you know how I grew up. I grew up in it. I'm talking about back in the 60s when everybody thought that the dope-smoking hippies was going to take over the world. And they have, subtly. But when those fiery preachers out of those mountains would come out there and preach those revival and the Spirit of God would fall into place, the kind of stuff that you all experience in Jubilee, I experienced it every Sunday morning. I remember sitting in the windowsills because the adults took the pews. I remember sitting up here, kind of like what y'all experienced this past Jubilee that I was in Israel and couldn't be here. But see, gang, that was Sunday morning. And sometimes I get to thinking, well, it just ain't like it used to be. But you know what I have to do? I have to go back to my Bible. And I have to get understanding of the times. See, the Bible says that perilous times shall come. The Bible says there will come a time when they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. They will no longer want preachers. Can I get an amen right there? I have to understand the times. See, when we're but let's not get too discouraged. Because when it comes to that time, I'm getting closer to the King coming. It's a time of crisis. It's a time, though, friend, of the crowning, of the coronation of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, as sure as I'm standing here in a Tommy Steele suit, Jesus is coming. He's coming back. He's coming back. We are closer tonight than we have ever been before. When things get bad, let's just grab a hold of the understanding of the times. Because we are on the verge of Jesus coming back. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be difficult times. But you know what? Just like there, there's a handful that understood the times. And see, ladies and gentlemen, we do not have to be the people that are running around thinking that all hope is lost. It's because all hope is not lost. Our hope is about to become sight. Our faith is about to become sight. The one who called me unto salvation is about to step out on the clouds and call me home. Hope is not lost. Hope is still very hopeful. Amen. We got to understand the time. I have a brother-in-law who's a stockbroker. He's not even 30 years old yet. Very wealthy man. Not even 30 years old yet. I would tell you what his bonus was this year, but I see a little sign. Smile, you're on the web. And who knows? He might look me up and hear me say. But let's just say he's doing okay. And I don't begrudge people that have got money. I really don't. I have no issue with that. I used to when I was little. I had a chip on my shoulder. But I don't anymore. There's good, godly people with a lot of money. And if they'll give it, God will just give them more. They have a gift for getting money and giving money. God bless them. Thank God for them. But I've met a lot of men who understand how to manage money, but they don't understand the times. They still think that it's going to be good because the money's good. They still think that it's about making money. Please don't misunderstand me. As far as God is concerned, y'all gonna think bad of me, but please don't. God has never, ever really, Brother Ray, I don't think he's ever been concerned about the American dream. It has always been just what it was. An American dream. And friends, we have been awakened from our dream. We got shook. What the terrorists could not do when they destroyed the Twin Towers, God allowed greed and lying to finish its course. God allowed greed and lying to finish its course. I have people in my church that run mortgage companies. You ought to preach, you ought to say that to the mortgage industry and expect an amen. But they do amen me because they know it's true. They've came up to me after church and said, "Pastor, you're absolutely right. We filled out applications and wrote down incomes for people that were not true. Because no one was checking. They told us they made this. That you could, at that time, you could tell people. You didn't have to give them. When I got a loan, I had to prove what I made. Not during, no. No, you just had to go and tell them, "Oh, how much you make? Oh, I make $150,000 a year. Where do you work, McDonald's?" I'm not knocking McDonald's at all. I like McDonald's, as a matter of fact. But I don't know, I really don't think that Bubba working the windows, pulling down $150,000 a year. The people were lying, and the banks were greedy. And they were giving money to people who could not pay it back. And what the Twin Towers could not do, because they didn't aim where they should have been aiming. They tried to collapse the economic system, but all we had to do was move buildings. But what has happened now is from within, we collapsed. And we have been awakened from the American dream. But friend, I am not involved in the American dream. That is not what my life is about. I'm coming to a close, honest. That's not what my life is about, the American dream. My life is about the reality of the times in which I was born and the time in which I was born again. And we need to understand this time, because friend, it had a beginning. We are getting close to the end, and it will most definitely have an ending. And then what's the next time? Tribulation. Yeah. Would you stand? We've got much more to cover if the Lord lets us live to see another night. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just wonder tonight if there's anybody here that might need to come to the altar and say, "Lord, you know what? I begin to misunderstand the times. I've been through what I've been through, and my family's went through what it's went through. And in the middle of all this, I've misunderstood." And you need to just come to the altar tonight and say, "Lord, I need you to open up my understanding. I need you to help me to have greater understanding." Some have already came. I encourage you just to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I know this was not a salvation message, but I would like to make that plea. I would like for you to understand tonight, friend, if you're here tonight and don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'd like for you to understand that you are living in a time when you can be saved. You are living in the day of grace, the age of grace, the time of grace, the dispensation of grace. You can experience the grace of God if you'll come up here and ask Jesus to save you. You're already experiencing the grace of God, but you can experience the saving grace of God. You need to understand something, though, friend. Those of you that I'm talking to that you may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to understand something. This time will end. And if you have ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel and you rejected it during this time, you will not get a next time. You'll be involved in a tribulation period, and the Bible says that you will receive a strong delusion from God and you will believe the lie of the devil according to the book of Thessalonians, chapter number 2. So if you're here tonight and the Lord has been dealing with you about this matter of salvation, now is the time. Today is today, the day, and now is the accepted time for you to come and be saved. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had around your word. I pray you forgive me. I'm sure there was things that maybe I should have expounded on better. But Lord, I thank you for reminding me of the time in which I'm living. And I pray, God, you'll help me to redeem the time. And I pray now, Lord, that you'll help every person that came to this altar tonight, whatever their need was, whatever their request was, I know you will help them, and I thank you. And Lord, I pray if there's one here tonight lost, I pray that they would not leave this place not knowing you. I ask you, Lord, to give Brother Ray wisdom as he closes this service, and however you lead him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.